The question was asked, when do we go against City Hall? When do we say everyone's wrong? So there is a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer that a young person, a young rabbi came to a town and he checks out the whole town, and after he's rabbi there and he sees what's going on, he says, excuse me, where's the mikveh here? Where do all your women go? So they said, oh, we all live around the lake, and all the women, they use the lake as their mikveh. So the young rabbi said, wow, that's complicated. He sits down and he starts figuring out how much rainfall is there and how much water is coming from the underground streams. And he comes to the conclusion that the lake is not a kosher mikveh. Not every body of water is a kosher mikveh. You need a rabbi to tell you whether that body of water is kosher as a mikveh. A mikveh is only kosher if it's standing water. If it's streaming water, then it's only kosher if it's water that's not rainwater. If it's water that's from underground streams. So if you have streaming water and it's primarily rainwater or snow water, so then you have a problem because that's not a mikveh. So you need, that's part of what has to be figured out. There are a few things that have to be figured out in order to decide whether a body of water is a kosher mikveh. Is it streaming? Is it standing? What's its primary source of water? Etc. So he sits down and he does all the equations and he comes to the conclusion it's not a kosher mikveh. So the whole town has been saying we have a kosher mikveh, the lake behind our houses. And this young new rabbi comes in and says, I don't think it's right. So what do they tell him? We don't think you're right. So what does he do? He sends a letter to the Chasam Sofer. He says, here are the equations, here's what I see. They don't want to hear, but this is what it seems to be. So the Chasam Sofer sends a letter back and he says, the man's right. Listen to your rabbi. You guys have to build a mikveh. Your mikveh all these years hasn't been kosher. It happens. Once in a long time it happens. The rabbis built the second base of Mikdash. They sit down and learn the sugya of Nisuch Hayayin again. And they come to the conclusion that Nisuch Hayayin has to be done, the libation of wine, a certain way. It wasn't done that way throughout the first temple. So what? All the libation of the first temple was disqualified because in the second temple they ruled it has to be done differently. No, now they ruled this way, then they ruled that way. Good question. But they did. You had a machlokes, whether mashke beis mitbachaya, whether the fluids in the base of Mikdash are tamei or not. So for a few generations they said they were tamei, and a few generations they said they were not. Now what happens about that they had a different opinion, went back and forth. How do we work that? Okay, so there are times that you can make massive change. There are times where the courts can rule or a rabbi can rule, this is a mistake. Sometimes we say, like Rabbeinu Tam writes, it's quoted in the Mordechai, it's quoted in many places, that the word minhag is gematria gehenim. Sometimes you say it, Rabbeinu Tam said it. Sometimes we say it. When do we say it? When you do something in a get that's against the halacha, and then you say, but that's our custom. So we say, yeah, but the halacha says not that way. But the general rule is that whatever one's doing, you can assume is right. You don't have to start thinking 10 times, well, is this wrong or is this right? You see everyone doing it, you can assume it's right. Everyone wears a yarmulke, you can assume it's right to wear a yarmulke. Everyone takes 3 steps forward to say Shemona Esrei, you can assume it's right to take 3 steps forward. The problem comes when you assume you have to take 3 steps back to take 3 steps forward to stand in Shemona Esrei. That's not so clear that you have to. Actually, it's pretty clear you don't have to. The question is, how did this minhag evolve that people take 3 steps back in order to take 3 steps forward for Shemona Esrei? The basic halacha is you take 3 steps forward and as you enter Shemona Esrei. And then when you conclude Shemona Esrei, you take 3 steps back. But this custom that we do both, on both shots, well, that needs explanation. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses it, that there's a minhag that evolved. But the basic halacha is not that. Nonetheless, the general rule is, it's a Yerushalmi that's quoted over and over again, kol halacha shemitofefet biyadecha, any halacha that's weak in your hand, you're not sure how it should stand, puk, go out, chazi, take a look, mai amad deval. What's the nation doing? What's everyone doing? If everyone's doing it this way, you could assume it's right. So we don't go against everyone. Our general assumption is we don't go against everyone. This holds true for many halachos. You see that everyone uses Velcro on a Sefer Torah. Throughout America, you see, they roll up Sefer Torah, they use Velcro to close the Sefer Torah. Can you use Velcro on Shabbos? If you sit down, you look at how Velcro is made, really you're breaking and closing and breaking and closing. But everyone uses it. So the rule is, Tosfos writes, that when you have a minhag in a location that there are rabbis, then you assume that what everyone's doing is right. You walk into a town that there are no rabbis, so you say, okay, well, who said that they're doing right?
It's a minhag held in 10 years.
Oh, so But nonetheless, it's being done in many, many Orthodox shuls with rabbis, and no one's saying it's a problem. So that's already a good start. If you walk in on Shabbos and you suddenly realize, wait a second, am I allowed to use Velcro on Shabbos? You could assume, well, everyone's been using it. It's okay. A guy walked into my house once on Shabbos, and he's sitting in the Shabbos meal, and he tells me, you know, they discovered a new thing, that there are a problem with the refrigerators, even refrigerators that you think don't work when you open the door, you could still be closing a circuit when you open the door. So I didn't say anything to him. A few days later, he came to me, and after the meal, I said to myself, okay, everyone's been using refrigerators. Probably there's no problem using a refrigerator, but I don't want to rely on that. So I went to the rabbi he was quoting, and that rabbi took out a bunch of sfarim, and he said, you see, here it says, and here it says, and here's the research, and here's the company I called, and here. There are problems with refrigerators, even though people think that there are no problems. So now I'm stuck, Friday night, all the food is out, I don't have access to my fridge. I got a guy, I killed my Friday night, and I figured out a way. We left the fridge open, and I put a curtain over it, and that's what we did. What could I do? Fine. I called my Rebbe Sunday, and I said, did you hear this? They're saying there's a problem with refrigerators. So he said, nope, didn't hear of it. So I said, and what should I have done Friday night? So he said, keep using your refrigerator. So I said, what do you mean? The guy's telling me there's a problem. So he said, yeah, and you see everyone else is still using their refrigerators. First, let him prove that there's a problem. Just because he's saying there's a problem. You see everyone's using their refrigerators. You have a question. Fine. It's not like you see the light turning on when you open the fridge door. It's that he's saying something changed and your fridge might have a problem. Well, right now what you see is that everyone's using their refrigerators like they always did. You keep using your refrigerator. When you verify, you want to make phone calls during the week and verify, you think the guy knows what he's talking about. Okay, so you'll verify. But until you know otherwise, just because someone walks in and says, well, there's a problem, so you don't have to worry that there's a problem. What?
But you find out.
That there's no problem with my refrigerator. I have a friend who's an electrician, and I called the company, and I called the organization that claimed there was a problem, and I checked out what they were saying was really the problem, and there's no problem. I mean, I'm not saying all fridges are fine. I'm saying that my refrigerator was fine. I'm just saying the rule is that in general, you can assume what everyone's doing, what everyone's been doing is okay. Provided you're in an Orthodox community, you have a community that showed up, like certain communities showed up to Israel. They have no real rabbi leading the community for the last few hundred years. There we have a real problem with those communities. When a community walks in and they don't have Torah, they don't have someone teaching Torah and maintaining Torah, so we say, wait a second, who married you off? Who did your divorces? Who's been following everything? We don't go learning from their menhagim. We have bigger problems, but we definitely don't learn from their menhagim. But what you see, if in Europe they did, like we discussed earlier, or in Israel they did, or in America they did, you have communities where there are rabbis and people are doing it, so then it's a minute. And I'll tell to you one step further. When they first came out with this treles, what they call treles, the blue thing in tzitzis. So I was learning in America as a rav. I went over to Rav Avram Shapiro Zatzal. I was maybe the first person who posed the question to him. I said, I went. They just said they found it, and they made a lecture, and they showed what they did, and here are their proofs. Should people put on treles nowadays? So he said, no. So I'm skipping the whole long conversation about why he said no, but at the end of the conversation, everyone gathered around. We had like 30 people standing around us, listening into this conversation. Everyone wanted to hear what he said, and he said to me, but I want you to know, the biggest posik in Am Yisrael is Am Yisrael. Bigger posik than me, bigger posik than anyone. In Shemayim, Hashem guides Am Yisrael. And the nation is only going to do what's emes halacha. And the halacha is, right now, the way I understand, no reason to put on that thing. But he said, now look. And he starts pointing around to all the people standing around. You have tres, you have tres, you have tres, you have tres. Start going around. He said, see, no one's wearing it. Well, what's your tzitzis look like? He pointed each person, he checked his tzitzis, he said, see, no one's wearing it. He said, if in 20 years, 30 years, when I'm not around, he said, if you start seeing everyone around you wearing it, you wear it too. Because the biggest posting in Am Yisrael is Am Yisrael. Hashem guides Am Yisrael, and Halacha remains Emes in Am Yisrael. So if Am Yisrael accepts it, then that means that's Emes, and that's what you should do also. So it goes in both ways. So then we get to the big question, well, wait a second, how do things change in Am Yisrael? If everyone's waiting for everyone to change, it's never going to change, right? We discussed this once. Okay, that's for a different time.